You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to help you plan that unbelievable travel experience. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, excursions, and more in one place. There are over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from, so you can find something for everyone. And Viator offers free cancellation and 24/7 customer support for worry-free travel. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
Michael Kist.
You caught me not listening again.
Benjamin Solak.
You never listen.
It's the Kist and Solak Show, presented by SB Nation and Bleeding Green Nation. You are flying high on the Kist and Solak Show. This is episode 102, brought to you by the fine folks at SB Nation and Bleeding Green Nation. I am your host, Michael Kist. Follow my work at bleedinggreennation.com. Follow me on Twitter at Michael Kist NFL. That's K-I-S-T. As always, joined by the best doggone co-host in the game, Mr. Nine-Year Streak Without a Bad Day. He is Benjamin Solak. Follow his work for thedraftnetwork.com. Follow him on Twitter at Benjamin Solak. That's S-O-L-A-K. Ben, how you doing, brother?
Mike, every day is a good day to be alive. Thank you so much for asking. It was supposed to be a three-person podcast today, or I should say two-person plus K-9 podcast today, but it will not be. The next podcast we do will be that. Got delayed a day. Everything is very well. I'm very excited. How are you?
I am doing very well, and I'm also very disappointed to hear that you don't have the doggo yet today. We are on full puppy watch with Benjamin Solak. Unfortunately, that day is not today. I would have loved to have met the little fella. It's a girl, right? You're getting the girl that you showed me?
Yes, that's the game plan. Her name is Ruby. She's adorable. We're getting her later. We're recording this on Thursday morning. We're getting her Thursday, late afternoon and evening. And so hopefully this will come out. People will hear. People will get excited. But we'll be able to have a picture of her. Well, a picture of her in the new house and say hello to the internet by the end of the day. Yeah, we were supposed to get her yesterday, but then things got delayed and pushed back, which was great because my fiance worked the overnight shift. And so she was up at 2 and she wanted to go to bed. And I was like, no, like they're going to call. Don't worry about it. It's going to be fine. They're going to call. And we kept her up a lot later than she wanted to be kept up. She's not my biggest fan right now, but the dog will fix that. We'll be okay.
So puppy watch continues late into the night Thursday. We'll let you know if anything happens. Ben, let's talk about what we're going to be talking about today. It's not about puppies. It is about the NFC East. So recently what I did was I wrote an article for bleedinggreennation.com, and this is going to be a three-part series that I do because special teamers are people too, but we're not going to do special teamers today. We're going to do offense and defense. We're going to build a dream team for the NFC East.
Oh. Maybe call it something else.
So, again, I've already done the offensive side of the ball for bleedinggreennation.com. Go look at that article if you would like. I have not put the defensive side of the ball up yet, and I still have some decisions to make. So, hopefully, Ben will help me work through this process because the defensive side of the ball was definitely harder, especially when you get into the secondary, than the offensive side of the ball. So, again, we're building the dream team. We're going through all the positions. We're going through left guard, right guard. We're going through ZYX receivers, you know, all that stuff. So, let's get into it, Ben. Mm-hmm. Quarterback. I mean, we already kind of did the Dak Prescott versus Carson Wentz thing on the Kist and Solak show, Eye on the Enemy, episode 101, where we previewed the Dallas Cowboys outlook, and I went on that little bit of a rant. I don't think they're in the same tier. I still think Dak is a starting quarterback that you can win with. But I think Wentz, you know, and again, I'm not a doctor. I think Wentz, when healthy, is definitely in a higher tier. And, you know, you see guys like Daniel Jeremiah today posting, you know, his top offenses in the league. Right. And Philadelphia is up there at number 2. The hype around this offense is real, and it's for a reason. Now, like I've said before, it's hard to find a credible analyst that really studies quarterbacks that would put Dak ahead of Wentz on just terms of pure talent.
That's what it circles back to for me. Is like, if you're going to make this pick Dak and not Wentz, you've got to justify it. Whereas you can make it Wentz and not Dak, and really nobody would be like, hey.
Yeah.
So like that kind of tells you at least what the consensus pick is. And it's not the case that the consensus is always correct. I'll never claim that. It's just, you know, clearly right now the majority is on Wentz.
Yeah, I don't think anybody outside of the Dallas media is pounding the table for Dak right now unless you bring the argument of health into it, which is totally understandable. So our quarterback on this NFC East dream team are kicking it off with Carson Wentz, the Eagles franchise quarterback. Let's go to running back. And this is the one where I really got some kickback, again, only from Dallas fans. And it was for me putting Saquon Barkley ahead of Ezekiel Elliott just 1 year into his NFL career. Now, Zeke does have a case. He's been absolutely productive over the course of 3 years. There's some off-the-field stuff going on there, but we're not really counting that for this. And one of the things I did recently was I took a look at, and we talked about this with Saquon when we did our New York Giants Eye on the Enemy, was the differential between explosive play frequency and frequency of runs that go for zero or negative yards. So I looked at this for the past 3 years as well, not just for Saquon. One back in the NFL has a higher explosive run frequency than a zero to negative run frequency with over 300 carries. That is Alvin Kamara. No other back has a positive differential. He's at plus 3.9%.
That's a wild stat.
Yeah, it's insane. Le'Veon Bell is second with negative 1.4. So it's not even close with Kamara.
Yeah.
And then third is Ezekiel Elliott at negative 1.7. So what you're seeing from that is a guy that is going to bust off some runs from you, and that is also going to be consistent in not taking those losses. And I think that Ezekiel Elliott is that steady Eddie back. You can kind of put the offense on and kind of ride out with him. But Saquon Barkley is just special, right, Ben? Would you argue with me putting Saquon over Ezekiel Elliott?
No. Elliott's a very good player. Saquon Barkley's a different cat. This isn't the same with Carson and Dak, where, like, if you pick Saquon, it would be fine, and Elliott, you'd have to justify. Elliott's had a very productive and tremendous career. Elliott's a top five back in the league. There's no doubt about that. Like, we're basically, you know, we've got Gurley, Kamara, Barkley, Elliott, David Johnson / Le'Veon Bell. So maybe six is the tier we should be looking at, not necessarily five. But, like, you've got those guys, and with those guys with receiving ability and with big play potential, you should be very happy with them as your starting bell cow back. And really, those are the six that I look at, and I say, okay, that's a true bell cow right there, and that's a guy I want getting 20-plus touches a game. So either way, we're not, you know, nobody is worse off for having Elliott over Barkley. It's slightly different in terms of what you execute and why. The play style is going to be a little bit different. You're going to take probably a few more lumps with Barkley in terms of the bad plays. You're going to get a few more ridiculous plays as well. But Barkley has a special talent, a special athletic ability that Elliott does not bring to the table. That blue chip trait is very exciting. We've already seen Barkley translate to the NFL level. Now we expect him to get better. I think he's already at Elliott's level, and he's got a much better, you know, higher ceiling projection moving forward. So Barkley was the same pick for me. It was not easy, but Barkley.
Yeah, you had to kind of think about it, but I think Barkley is the easy choice
there. Also, you know, Wendell Smallwood's in that mix. You gotta, you know, make sure you give him his due as well.
I totally forgot about him. We gotta tear this whole thing down. Exactly. I gotta do the whole article again.
By the way, if Wendell Smallwood makes a team again, I'm gonna be furious. Anyway, go ahead.
I'm gonna be incensed. You bring in two running backs and Jordan Howard and Miles Sanders.
And you still keep four, and the fourth is Wendell Smallwood. Like, it sounds laughable, but it's not, because it could happen.
He's not even a returner. Like, what is he?
He's not even a running back, Mike. Let's start there.
So let's go to wide receiver. I'm going to do this in a group of three because we got a lot of positions to get through. So what I did was I split it up through X, Z, and slot. So X receiver, the guy tethered to the line, going to deal with a little bit more press. That's your bigger body type wide receiver. I went with Alshon Jeffrey there. For the Z receiver, the guy that you can move around more in motion, is going to be off the line a little bit. That's your separator. That's Amari Cooper from the Dallas Cowboys. I don't even think that's close with the other Z receivers around the league. The only argument I think I would have there is DeSean Jackson, who can be a better deep threat. But really, when you look at the numbers, Cooper is producing at a high level and fixed a lot of the things that has been a bugaboo in his career, like his hands, drops his drop pass rate from 20% and 17.2% to 5.7% in 2018. That was the major thing holding him back the year before. He kind of cleaned that up. We'll see if that sustains itself over a long period of time. My slot receiver, and I had a difficult time with this one, I went with Golden Tate over Nelson Agholor and the rest of the guys. And here's the thing, I'm projecting Sterling Shepard to see more outside reps with Tate in the building.
Right, that's the tricky thing.
Yeah, so I didn't necessarily include him in there, but I went with Tate as my slot. So Cooper, Jeffrey, Tate is my wide receiver trio if I'm building my dream team. What about you, Ben?
Yeah, I think, like, if you do, like, all right, there are 12 starting receivers in the NFC East. Now take who you want and put them at the positions. Then Golden Tate becomes your best starting slot, right? I'm not sure if he gets predominantly slot reps for the Giants, just with Evan Ingram and with the current wide receiver room they have. I'm not sure. That's the tricky thing. Like, Cooper probably will take more snaps on the line than he will off the line, right? Now, he models as he's great at getting off press, but he models as a Z because of the route running ability, because of the explosiveness. But he'll probably, like, you know, be an X for the Cowboys. So it is tricky. I do think, probably the best three wide receivers you could put together, X Z and Slot from the 12 starters are Tate, Cooper, and Alshon. That's one that probably makes the most sense. Those are probably your three top guys. I agree with you in the sense that I'd love to find a way to sneak Deshaun in there, but like Tate's such a prototypical slot, and Cooper is very much so a successful and dynamic Z. I mean, he plays the X for the Cowboys very well, and so it's Jackson's definitely four. He's definitely, I think, the fourth receiver there, and then I think there's a drop off after four, right? Then you're in like Sterling Shepard, Nelson Aguilar, Michael Gallup, young Josh guys Doxson. Who probably aren't that good, right? Paul Richardson, you know, it's just you know, and it's worth noting, we've now ripped through almost all the skill positions. We're going to get the tight end, and we're not going to turn out a Washington Redskin.
And that trend is probably going to continue as we go through this thing. So that's our wide receiver
offense.
For the entire offense. I really can't. You can only make one argument, and it's not really even a good one. Tight end. Let's go to tight end. The Eagles, I mean, I could probably put both. Could I put Zach Ertz and Dallas Goedert as the top two? Like, if I were picking a 12 personnel offense and I took Slot out of it, could I go 12 personnel with the Philadelphia Eagles, Zach Ertz, and Dallas Goedert?
Excuse you. The Dallas Cowboys have a Hall of Famer, Jason Witten.
As Jeff Cavanaugh pointed out.
I mean, yeah, like, not Jordan Reed, not with how he currently is. Like, Vernon Davis is still good.
Yeah.
Goddard's probably better than Ingram right now. I mean, yeah, he's up there.
So it's a discussion, but nobody touches Zach Ertz. You set records for your position. You are a lock. Zach Ertz, one of the best tight ends in the league right now. An elite route runner. So I don't think there's much of a discussion there. The discussion is about tight end, too. Who do you want to go with? BGN listeners, hit us up. Is it Dallas Goedert? Is it Vernon Davis? Is it Evan Ingram?
Yeah, I'm sure all of our Eagles listeners will be like, yeah, Vernon Davis, for sure.
But then other people will see it, and then other people will get mad. Let's upset other franchises, fan bases with how
Mike good our tight is just are. Doing anything for interaction right now. Anything, anything for the clicks. Do you think Eagles fans know that I don't think Zach Ertz is the best tight end in the league? Do you think Zach Ertz is the best tight end in the league?
I don't.
Okay, me neither. We don't have to go into any more detail than that.
Really? We don't want to talk about Travis Kelce or George Kittle?
Right. So those are the top three. If those aren't your top three, you're wrong. How would you rank them? Very quick.
Dude, you said Kittle top one the other day. Now, here's the thing. I'm willing to explore that, and I've been watching some Kittle lately, so I haven't fully graded him yet or anything like that. I'm going to say it's a serious conversation about George Kittle as the top tight end in the NFL. Like, it's a serious one.
And I'm not going to tell you he doesn't benefit from Shanahan in the offense, because he does. But it's worth noting, it's not like Shanahan was out here scheming great tight end seasons every season he was an offensive coordinator. No. He got Kittle, and he was like, well, snap, looks like I'm going to have to build out some new things for this fella, right? Like, Shanahan's a good designer, but it's not like he was always doing great stuff with tight ends. So there is a lot intrinsic to Kittle in terms of his explosiveness, his just long speed, and then his physicality in the open field that makes you really want to get the ball in his hands, especially. And this is what makes him, I think, different than like Zach Ertz. Ertz, you want to get him the football, right? You want to throw him, you know, like they throw him little intermediate routes, and little set routes, little curl routes, you know, whatever. Ertz is very good on covering, good leverage. We all know that Ertz does not break tackles. Kittle, unlike most tight ends in the league, is a guy you want to get the ball while he's moving in space, which is not regular. It's him and Kelce are the only two tight ends that are really, like, consummate good tight ends who that's true of. You could say it's also true of, like, you know, Jonnu Smith for the Titans, but Jonnu Smith's also bad at a lot of stuff, so, like, it doesn't really matter, you know what I mean?
George Kittle, can I throw this stat out there for you, just to highlight your point about yards after catch?
Yes.
Next Gen Stats has been doing this thing called expected yak. Yeah, ex-yak. For the last 3 years, they've done 2016, 2017, 2018. Based on all the data that they have on the play, they basically come up with a number of how much yards after catch a player should get once he catches the ball. In the last 3 years, nobody out of wide receivers and tight ends, so I'll throw in wide receivers in this too, nobody has a better year for plus minus the differential for yards expected versus yards gained after the catch than George Kittle, plus 3.2.
Healthy.
That's insane.
To put that into context, every time, every three catches, he picks up a first down that no one else would have picked up.
Essentially, right? Yeah.
Every three catches, he picks up 9.6 extra yards than another average NFL player who would have gotten his targets at his depth, you know, wherever he was with defenders near him, whatever. So every every three catches instead of being at the 40, you're at the 30.
Yeah.
Might be good.
Might be good.
Might be helpful.
Watch his big plays. Watch his yards after catch runs. They're incredible. Big man is a moose that can move, man.
Healthy young man. He is spry.
I was a big fan of his coming out of Iowa, and he was a dog as a blocker and a projection as a receiver, and mm-hmm. boy, did he blow that projection away. I thought I was high on him.
My last round three grade, which is awesome, because I can say I had a day two grade on George Kittle. Meanwhile, he was like 0.04 points ahead of being a day three player. Yeah, I had a day two grade on him.
And you were probably high on him. I mean, that's around where I had him, and I was quote-unquote high on him. Nobody was high enough on Kittle. Okay, let's move it on to left tackle Tyron Smith, man. Does Trent Williams, Jason Peters, can they contend with him at this point? Tyron's a beast. I think he's fully back healthy. Like, he's crushing it. That's the dude, right?
I would argue that, yes, Peters can, but it's also Tyron Smith.
Okay. Okay.
I think it's easy for us to, like, you know, because Peters has been injured and banged up, and we've been, like, bringing Vitae in, to just forget that, like, Peters is a dominant left tackle, who's a top five left tackle in the league, the same way that Smith is. I still think it's Smith. But, like, there was, you know, Smith was banged up last year, and, like, you know, Cowboys fans are getting frustrated with him the same way Eagles fans are getting frustrated with Peters. So it's like closeness to it that I think throws it off a little bit, but it is still Smith. I mean, Smith's best left tackle in the game when he's healthy.
Let's go left guard, where it's a little tough.
No.
Isaac Seumalo, Eric Flowers, Connor Williams, and Will Hernandez. I went with Hernandez because I think, like,
dealer's choice.
Coming into this year, I think he's got the best projection based on what he did last year going into this year, because, I mean, it ain't Flowers. I wouldn't pick Flowers at all.
And the thing is, like, they don't even want Flowers to be the starting left guard. They want it to be somebody else. It's just like he's listed there right now, which is so depressing. Like, if you can't beat out Eric Flowers at left guard, whoo, Nelly, that's a problem.
You might not be an NFL player.
Yep. It's funny, because if you put Wisniewski into this, so you did this a year ago, I would have made the case for Wisniewski. Now Wisniewski's been replaced by Seumalo, who we thought, you know, a little bit rocky beginning, but he settled in. I'm not sure I want to make the case for Seumalo yet. I still think he's like a replacement level player and everything like that. So it's odd. Like, the Eagles replaced Wisniewski with Seumalo and it went fine, but still, like, in the context of this conversation, my gut instinct is that, like, Seumalo's not, I wouldn't have been as willing to pound the table for Seumalo as I would have for Wisniewski. I still don't think I would have taken Wisniewski over Hernandez/Williams, but I would have been more willing, I think, to make the case. I think it's closer between Williams and Hernandez than you're giving me credit for. Hernandez played well. Williams played up and down. I think Williams transitioning from tackle to guard is a big part of that process, right? Obviously, he's learning how to play on the interior after playing at Texas exclusively on the outside, whereas Hernandez just slid straight from left guard to left guard. And also, Hernandez has the added advantage of having that ridiculous size, which is a good way to have a high floor when you translate. Williams got to learn a little bit more, got to grow a little bit more. I don't care. Hernandez or Williams, take your pick. They're both rookies who I think have some promising flashes. It's probably Hernandez. But Williams deserves, like, I had a first round grade on him at tackle. They're moving him to guard. That's fine. Yeah. But I think he's a good player and I think he's going to take steps forward. So he's still a guy to watch. It's like, I expect him to be good for the Cowboys for his career.
All right. And then center to right, we've got Jason Kelce at center is what I have. Obviously, Travis Frederick can compete for that if he is back fully healthy. Unfortunately, had that thing, that health issue going on with him, that Guillain-Barré syndrome, I believe it was. I'm not sure.
Guillain-Barré,
is that what it is?
Yeah, you need to watch more House.
Why is it got the little accent over the E? What does that mean? How should I pronounce it?
Oh, maybe there is actually something. I don't know.
Oh, okay.
Okay.
I thought you knew
time
French.
Time for Google. Maybe I need to watch more House.
Well, you do that. I had so Jason Kelce at center. At right guard, that's where it gets really tough, because you're talking Brandon Brooks, who is returning from an injury, Brandon Scherff from Washington, Kevin Zeitler could be a challenge there for the Giants. They traded for Zeitler. Zach Martin, though, still my right guard. I mean, guy's like one of the best guards in the game. That's super deep compared to the left guard position that we just went through. And then at right tackle, I mean, Morgan Moses, Lyle Collins, Mike Remmers. Nope. Lane Johnson. Thank you.
That Mike Remmers laugh was funny. Okay. According to Emma Saying, which is the YouTube account where they just say things, it's not even close to anything either of us were saying. So they actually pronounced the L's. She did, which I do not trust because I thought this was French. But regardless, we all know I cannot be trusted around French words. Center is Jason Kelce. Kelce is the best center of the game when he's healthy. I shouldn't even say when he's healthy. He's been healthy the past 2 years. So yeah. Kelce is the best center of the game. Zach Martin at right guard. To me, it goes Martin, Scherff, Brooks.
Yeah.
I'll be honest with you. I cannot say I've watched enough Kevin Zeitler to really place him. I know people like him. I know he's good. But Brooks, Scherf, and Martin are all great. And I don't really know where Zeitler is. Didn't watch enough Cleveland Browns offensive line. That's on me. But it's to me, Martin, I think Scherf is a better player than Brooks, but they're both really talented guys. They're both tackle size dudes, just hog mollying it up. And then right tackle is Lane Johnson. It's the easiest one in the entire line.
And yeah, that's a good point on Zeitler. I really haven't, because he hasn't been in the division and we haven't had to done a bunch of previews against the Browns. We haven't really played them since Wentz's rookie year, if I'm not mistaken. So
yeah, first game.
We haven't really run across their film that much. So I'll give you that. I think Zeitler will be good though. Let's move it over to the defense after the break here on Bleeding Green Nation, the Kissed and Solek Show, episode 102. Let's recap real quick the offense here. Let's just run through it. Quarterback, Carson Wentz. Running back, Saquon Barkley. We've got our wide receiver trio of Alshon Jeffrey, Amari Cooper, and Golden Tate. Then our tight end is Zach Ertz, and then maybe Dallas Goedert when we go 12. We'll talk about it. Left tackle, Tyron Smith. Left guard, Will Hernandez. Center, Jason Kelsey. Right guard, Zach Martin. And right tackle, Lane Johnson. When we come back here on the Kissed and Solak Show, we'll be talking about the defensive side of the ball with the top players at each position in the NFC East. We're building a dream team, baby. We'll be back right after this.
Vacations can be tricky. You already know how to book flights and hotels, but now the only thing you're missing is, you know, the actual travel experience. Because is it really a vacation if you're just sitting around like you would at home? You need a tool to get the most out of your time away. That's where Viator steps in. You can book guided tours, activities, excursions, and more in one place to make your trip truly unforgettable. Viator has over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from. Everything from simple tours to extreme adventures and all the niche, interesting stuff in between. So you can plan something that everyone you're traveling with will enjoy. Real traveler reviews give the inside scoop from people who already been on the experiences you're considering, so you can plan with confidence. Free cancellation helps you plan for the unexpected. And 24/7 customer support means you can travel worry-free. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
We are back here on the Kissed and Solak Show, episode 102, brought to you by the fine folks at SB Nation and Bleeding Green Nation. Michael Kissed here with Benjamin Solak. We're talking NFC East Dream Team, building it, building a winner, championship team. Let's go to the defensive side of the ball. Let's start with the defensive ends. I'm not going to discriminate between left and right, even though I really could, because Brandon Graham switched from the left to the right last year after the Derek Barnett injury, which was not usual for him.
Wait, so we're not discriminating?
No. But we could anyway, because Brandon Graham switched to begin with and shown he can switch and be effective.
If we're not switching, Brandon Graham is not my top two.
Ooh, is it Kerrigan? It's Kerrigan.
Yeah.
DeMarcus Lawrence and Brandon Graham, I think, are mine. Remember, this is the one that I have not written yet, so I can be swayed by a persuasive argument. However, I do feel that Kerrigan is a Hall of Famer, so possibly it is Kerrigan.
Listen, Brandon Graham is no one is going to argue that Brandon Graham is a fantastic player. All right. Yeah. I will not get anywhere close to the argument Brandon Graham is the man. Kerrigan has started all 16 games of every season he has played in for 8 seasons. He has hit double-digit sacks in 4 of the last 5 seasons, and the season in which he didn't, he got 9.5. He has at least 2 forced fumbles in every single game he has played. Every single season he has played.
I was going to say, wow.
He has never had less than 7.5 sacks in a season. Ryan Kerrigan has played 8 years in the league and has averaged 10.5 sacks per season.
Yeah.
And he's an Iron Man. So you take Kerrigan right now. He's right now, he's going to be 31 when he plays this year, which I believe Brandon Graham's going to be about 32?
30. No, he's 31. He turned 31 in April.
He's going to be 31. But to recap, Graham has only had more than 7.5 sacks once in his career. It was 2017. Kerrigan has done it 8 times in his career out of 8 possible seasons. Now, Graham has only been a starter for the past 4 seasons. 6.5, 5.5, 9.5, and 4. And as we know, pressures are also a big part of Graham's game. But you can't sit there and tell me you would not like to add 10.5 sacks Take it to the bank. Easily predicted. There's no doubt he's getting double-digit sacks.
Yeah.
Every year, opposite Fletcher Cox. In this case, opposite DeMarcus Lawrence and also Fletcher Cox. But I just objectively speaking, Kerrigan's a more productive player. And film-wise, they're both comparable. They're both excellent rushers. They're also quite similar rushers. They're a little bit not smaller guys, but they're a little bit squattier guys. Kerrigan is listed 6'4". I don't think he's 6'4". Who win with a lot of power. They convert speed to power really well. They have a one-arm long arm, and they have a forklift move to be able to soften that outside edge. They got some similarities to them. Kerrigan's the one who turns out sacks.
So for the Kisten Solak show purposes, we're going to plug in Ryan Kerrigan at defensive end number two. I'm not saying I don't disagree with you, because I still got to get this article out and I need some mystique. We'll see. I'll lay out the arguments. So we'll go with DeMarcus Lawrence and Ryan Kerrigan. Washington finally on the board after a long drought. Let's go interior defensive line. Again, not discriminating between one tech and three tech, mainly because Fletcher Cox can line up wherever the hell he wants and be productive. And I'll go with Fletcher Cox as my interior defensive lineman.
Shock. Number one. Like, Fletcher Cox is not in my top two. No.
Took a big risk there. There'd be a lot of projection involved with that one. Interior defensive lineman number two. It's between Jonathan Allen and I think Dalvin Tomlinson and Malik Jackson. Give me the guy with sacks, so get Dalvin Tomlinson the heck out of there. Then it's between Jonathan Allen and Malik Jackson, and if I have to play him for three downs, I think I have to go with Jonathan Allen. What about you? Just because the run defense for Jackson was so bad last year. I think that's an under. He's going to be a great pass rusher, but he did not defend the run at all.
Yeah, it's Jonathan Allen for me with a lot less hesitation. Jackson's a good player. Tomlinson is good at his role. The other guy who deserves mention, just because he's interesting, is B.J. Hill for the Giants.
Oh, yeah.
But Hill is fascinating. Hill played interior at NC State, rookie for the Giants in the 3-4. He's kind of playing like a big end, a 4 technique, 5.5 sacks, playing time grew every single week. Really, really solid for them. But Allen is an elite player who was drafted. Would have been a top half of the first round if not for some injury concerns. Obviously, those were borne out in his first year. He got injured. But his sophomore season was really, really strong. You expect him to get better. Jonathan Allen is to me the easy pick.
Monster front four. DeMarcus Lawrence, Ryan Kerrigan, Fletcher Cox, and Jonathan Allen is your front four.
It's monster in terms of like its effective, but it's also, yeah, like just huge. Like it's just big boys. Like everybody there is 260. Like Lawrence and Kerrigan are both 260.
Right.
Fletcher and Allen are both over 300. Like it's healthy.
So you got some big boys. Let's get some big boys to fly around at the linebacker position. This one. Is it both Cowboys? Linebacker one, linebacker two? Because we're going nickel as starters.
Yeah, I learned when I was doing this, the linebackers in the NFC East suck.
They're bad.
Except for the Cowboys. The Cowboys have two really good ones. And Bradham doesn't suck, but Bradham is not at Jalen Smith or Van Der Esch level. And then the Giants and the Redskins just have no one.
But you're not going
to
put
like Reuben Foster, if I knew he was healthy / allowed to play. You know what I mean? Like that's a conversation. Foster's the man. But even like, Van Der Esch is locked in, and then it's between Smith and Foster.
So we're going to have LVE and Jalen Smith flying around. I already talked with RJ Ochoa about this on Eye on the Enemy Extra. Like, I think they're the best linebacker tandem in the league. Let's just not talk about the NFC East. Ben, is there any other linebacker group that you know of off the top of your head that's better than LVE and Jalen Smith right now?
Oh, man, I want to
Years ago, it would have been like Luke Kuechly and Thomas Davis, but I think we're past that
point. Gone. I'm very tempted to say Bobby Wagner and KJ Wright from Seattle.
That's a good one.
Yeah. Now, there's a chance, because both those men got to get paid, that this is our last year seeing them together.
Yeah.
The question there for me is, like, I don't think KJ Wright is as good as Jalen Smith. So it becomes a question of how much better is Bobby Wagner than Leighton Vander Esch? Because right now, like, if you're asking me to just objectively pick one linebacker in the league, it's either Kuechly or Bobby Wagner.
Right.
So Wagner's better than Kuechly. I'm not sure by how much. Wagner's better than Leighton Vander Esch. I'm not sure by how much. And then all of a sudden, by the end of year two, you know, there's a chance that we're talking about Vander Esch really up there with those top guys, in which case, then it's the Cowboys. So I think Seattle's the only team that would push it. And I really don't know, without sitting down and working through that, where exactly I would land on it.
Yeah, we're just sticking with two because nickel is the new base. Let's go to cornerbacks. And this is where it starts to get a little tricky. It's not tricky with cornerback one, I don't think. I had Byron Jones in there.
You're not trying to do left corner, right corner, right? Because some teams shadow and some teams, yeah.
Yeah, no, we're just going like, who do you want as your starting two outside corners, regardless of side? So I went with Byron Jones. I got serious questions about cornerback two. Do you have any idea who you would plug in there? I know you're not the biggest Josh Norman fan.
I'm very glad you said that. I'm so happy. I love it when you know things. Like, it makes me always like, oh, we're friends. Yeah, I'm not picking Josh Norman because Josh Norman was overrated in Carolina, overpaid, and has not been good for the Redskins the past 2 years. 3 interceptions and 18 pass breakups combined over the last 2 years. That's not good numbers. That's right. Average corner one-ish, corner two numbers. That's just a replacement. Not a replacement. Just an average starter.
You putting Jackrabbit over Ronald Darby? Where are you going with it then?
Yeah, I'll probably take Janoris Jenkins. Might even take Ronald Darby over Josh Norman. I don't give a hoot. Norman's not very good.
Oh, I would take Darby over Norman right now. I don't care about the injuries or anything. Give me the guy with the higher ceiling.
Right. So it becomes between me, Darby, and Jenkins. We haven't really talked too much about availability in terms of how much that's going to play an impact and what they're able to do. Obviously, Darby's a guy who is objectively in the NFC East. However, the amount of NFC East games he's played is not not particularly notable.
Not great.
Yeah, but I do think that the Janoris Jenkins is probably the best guy you're getting. Janoris Jenkins, very feast or famine. Man coverage guy who you know, really just wants to match up one-on-one with guys. Sometimes he gets beat, sometimes he doesn't. Not ideal, but I think he's probably a better player than Darby right now. It'd be nice to have a full season to watch of Darby to really get a better feel for what exactly he could be over the course of a full season. We haven't gotten that in a while. The important part of the story here, Mike, is that it's not Josh Norman.
I agree. As long as you keep him out, I think you're right. Let's go to the nickel corner. This is tricky because they're like, if you go to like PFF and you sort it by 50% of coverage snaps for slot coverage, you end up with a list that has Anthony Brown, Fabian Moreau, and Cravon LeBlanc. That's it. Looking around this nickel corner situation, like, we don't even know who the nickel corner for the Eagles is going to be right now. So it's hard to pick one of them. Is it Fabian Moreau? Is it Brown? Is it Jordan Lewis? Like, I don't know where to go with this.
I will
one.
Answer your question with a question.
Okay.
Who are your safeties?
Oh, okay. So we're going to move to safety first, and then we're going to talk about who we want to put in the nickel?
Well, here's what I'm going to do. I'm just going to take 3 good defensive backs and say, figure it the heck out later.
And play big safety, something like that.
Listen, I've watched Malcolm Jenkins, ex-college corner. Don't know if you heard, brother, but he can go ahead and play the nickel.
He can. I mean, I think the stat was that I put up the other day, something like 481 snaps or so. He played at either free safety or nickel. He played a ton of nickel. Like, they move him around a lot. He's not just a box guy. So I could see
and
that
if
argument.
Only there was another young defensive back in the NFC East who has moved around from safety to corner and showed proficiency at both spots and thereby was able to provide this versatility such that we might call him a nickel, but who knows what he really is.
So who is that? Who is your guy? Who are you moving around?
So I'm taking Avante Maddox in the nickel.
Oh,
I'm taking,
I like that.
Malcolm Jenkins as strong free safety.
I'm going Malcolm Jenkins as a strong safety. I'm putting him over Landon Collins.
Right,
I think he's got more versatility.
The other safety that I want is Landon Collins.
Right. So how do you make that fit?
Right. So on non-heavy pass downs, right, on rundowns, I'll put Maddox high, and I'll put Jenkins in the nickel, and I'll put Collins in the box. And on pass downs, I'll bring Maddox and Jenkins down, and I'll put Collins, I don't know, high, whatever the heck, I don't care.
So versus 12 personnel, you've got both, what, Collins and Jenkins in the box. You can go big nickel against 12, and then you can go, like, actual nickel with Maddox rolled down to cover.
I'm just playing matchups, Mike. I'm playing matchups. You know what? We're playing matchups, which is defensive.
That's right.
Which is defensive coordinator code for I don't have players who fit positions well. So I'm going to play matchups. I'm just going to, we're going to adjust week to week. You know, we're going to see kind of what the offense is giving us. We're very confident in our guys. We know we have multiple guys. We can do multiple things well. And so, you know, we want to be able to present different looks against different offenses. So, yeah, we're going to play matchups. Next question.
Yeah, you need safeties that can do both. You got to be able to roll your safeties in today's NFL.
Yeah.
So,
which I would like this time last year, probably would have taken McLeod. Liked what McLeod did.
Yeah, I had
did.
McLeod with like 5 question marks next to his
right.
name.
And I really like what McLeod did in the first couple weeks of the season, especially like outside of free. Like, he was doing a lot of stuff like coming down into a rat as a robber or whatever.
Overlapping zones. I thought he was really good at that. Like, he was awesome.
Yeah, so I just don't know who McLeod is right now because we got to see a guy come back from an injury like that. So, Collins, Jenkins, Maddox. Oh, I mean, like, I thought a little bit about Anthony Brown because I kind of like Anthony Brown, but I don't really know.
Yeah, we got a hodgepodge here. Collins, Jenkins, Maddox is
and here's the important thing, because this is easy to forget. We're talking about Landon Collins, the Washington Redskin, he's not a New York Giant anymore, right?
Right.
Yeah. At first, I'm envisioning this team, I'm seeing him in blue. He's not in blue. He's in red and gold. But that's an important note because, and this circles back to like our Eye on the Enemy discussions, Mike, we didn't get a single Redskins offensive player. We did not get a single Giants defensive player.
Mm.
Do you want to know why we don't think these two teams are going to be good? Because they can't get one out of 11 dudes onto a unit, onto just a divisional team.
With some serious conversations happening, with some serious opportunities.
And that goes back to Dallas being quite a good team, right? Dallas got four players on this defense, depending on kind of what you're doing with the corners. So Jenkins, you get a Giant in on the defense. But if it's Darby, which I think is a very legitimate name, then you've got four Eagles and four Cowboys on the defense. And then offensively, you've got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 Eagles and 1, 2, 3 three Cowboys. Yeah. I mean, these are two teams with elite players at important positions.
Yep.
Giants and Redskins can't hold a candle to it.
Not at all. And that's kind of what we've been talking about on the Eye on the Enemy series with all three teams. We are done, by the way, with the NFC East, with the Eye on the Enemy series. We've covered the Cowboys, Washington, New York. We've covered them all. Then we're going to start branching out to the rest of the NFC. But we did want to have this discussion and build our dream team, both offense and defense, for the NFC East. Had a good time. And I'm going to write up and make my final decisions for this, hopefully very soon. I'm sure BLG would like that. May he forever reign. He is on vacation right now, waiting for BLG to return so we can start pumping out this content, get BGN Radio back into your life. But we also do have a special guest coming your way tomorrow. I'm not going to make any promises because, you know, things happen, so on and so forth. But really, keep an eye on your feed tomorrow as well. We hope you enjoyed this show. Ben, would you say goodbye to the gentle listeners and not mention that iTunes review that I put up on Twitter the other day?
Somebody reviewed iTunes and comped Mike to, from what I understand, a pornographic actor, which is great. So more of those.
he said I was a runner-up in a Johnny Sins lookalike contest teaching his prepubescent son life lessons while also breaking down some Eagles film.
And he spelled tries, as in tries to teach me lessons, TRY'S, which was my least favorite part of the review. But
offensive.
I think reviews are great. Mike, you just looked at it. So are we at 1,000 five stars?
No, we are not yet, you gentle listeners.
Cowards. How dare you? Please say nice things about us on the internet. You can even write mean things. But put 5 stars, and iTunes doesn't even know the difference, little fools. And so if you want to, which most of you do, just say mean things to us. We allow for that. That's allowed. If there are 5 stars, if there are less than 5 stars, we'll report it. How dare you? It doesn't work in the system. I mean, you can't do it. There's only 5 stars. That's why there are 5 there. It's to click 5. You can't actually click less than 5. If you could, they would have put less than 5, but they didn't. They put 5, so click 5. Yeah, so thank you for listening. I'm Ben, S-O-L-A-K. That's Mike, K-I-S-T. We are friends. We will talk. I might be on the show tomorrow. I'm not positive. But goodbye. Thank you. All right.
Yeah.
Bye.
Are we done?
Yeah.
We all we got? We all we need? I'm really trying to get this iTunes to load, but I just clicked on Imagine Dragons. Fly, Eagles, fly. That was a mistake. 10.
More to-dos, less time, and an infinite number of tools to keep track of. Sometimes doing business has never felt harder, but you don't need a miracle to hit your goals. You can just use HubSpot, because their all-in-one customer platform can make growing your business infinitely easier. Imagine this: high-quality leads, fast closing deals, wildly happy customers, and more benchmark-breaking quarters. It's not a miracle. It's HubSpot. Visit HubSpot.com to get started today.
Claude 3 from Anthropic is your one-stop shop for enterprise AI. With models at every point of the price-performance curve, you no longer have to make trade-offs between intelligence, speed, and cost. Claude 3 Opus sets new industry benchmarks for intelligence. Sonnet strikes the perfect balance between skill and speed. And Haiku is the fastest and lowest-cost model on the market, perfectly designed for high-volume, high-speed use cases. Join the thousands of enterprises who use Anthropic to navigate this new frontier. Visit anthropic.com/Claude, C-L-A-U-D-E, today. Jumpstart your genius with Claude 3 by Anthropic.